Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. The Hebrew writer gives one of the greatest instructions that could ever be given. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The joy was that folks like you and I would be able to be changed, transformed, changed, and given eternal life. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus. I want to see him so much. And I want you to see him. I don't know if this was a foolish request. Feeling about wanting to just be able to focus on the Lord. But I just ask him, Lord, I wish you would appear today. And I was meaning physically. I know that's, I don't know. I just felt like asking it. I feel like he understood what I meant. The desperation of just wanting to see Jesus. Not just his physical form, but what he is and what he's about, and so that my attention is not distracted to other things that they, but just, and really, in all candor, he is appearing here today. We can't see, but we feel him. You feel that in the house of God today. And he's going to appear in his word. And so today, I just want to direct us to look unto Jesus. Would you look to him in praise right now and just focus on him with your words and your thoughts and your intents in this time right now, Lord? We do totally attempt to focus on you, your goodness, your grace, your presence that is here, your reality, how real you really are, God, and how much you love us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm preaching, looking unto Jesus, and you may be seated. Our APC vision theme for the year 2020 is 2020 vision. 2020 vision is what is considered normal vision, or in other words, seeing the way and what we should see. And there are many things that we are to see properly with a clear vision. But please just catch this statement, if nothing else today. The most important object we should see properly with 2020 vision is the Lord Jesus Christ. I honor him today. When we use the phrase to have the vision of the Lord, there's a twofold meaning. One, it means to see him or have a view of him, have a view about him, or have him in our vision. To be looking, to have our attention or our focus on him. The second meaning of that phrase, to have the vision of the Lord, would be to see like he sees. In other words, to see others like he sees them. Or to see ourselves as he sees us. This is what it means to have the vision of the Lord. And again, the most important one to see is Jesus. See everything through him and his ways and his will and his word. See life with him in view. I don't feel like I can get him quite high enough today. Nobody's hindering me, but it feels like almost a hopeless task to be able to praise him and lift him and present him in a message the way that he really should be presented so that we can all view him and see him. Now, some people see God as a myth or as false. Some see him as just a higher power. Some see God as being uninterested. He's alive, but he's uninterested, he's uninvolved, and he's unapproachable. Others acknowledge that he was a historical figure, and that's how they see him, a biblical character. Others see God and a life with him as only a Sunday experience. But he is much more than all of those. 2020 vision sees him not as a myth, but as a real God. One of the ways I know he's real is just the most current, the last 15, 20, 25 minutes, the presence of God that we have felt. I also know it, whether I felt anything or not, because his word that is unchangeable says that he is alive and alive forevermore. 2020 vision sees him as a real God. A God that is alive. A God that is at work. At work this very moment. At work this very day in your life. 2020 vision doesn't see him as just a higher power. He is a higher power, but he's much more than just a higher power. He is all power. 2020 vision sees him not as uninterested or uninvolved, but 2020 vision sees him as a personal God. God that is concerned about every person that is seated here or watching on this webcast. A God who is so concerned that he wants to be involved in the details, whether it is a detailed need or a detailed question or whatever. He is not a detached God from us. And he is not unapproachable, but he is a personal God. He is our Father. We are his children. We're not just in a religion with him, we're in a relationship with him. Our religion does say there's a God and he's our Father. But our relationship screams that. He is our Father. And you can go to him. Somebody, just go ahead and ask him today. He's your Father. And he's the greatest Father that there ever has been or is. He is approachable. And I would have to agree, because of what I'm enjoying right now, he is a Sunday experience, but he's more than a Sunday experience. 2020 vision says he's a Monday experience. He's a Tuesday experience. He's a 24 hours, 7 days a week experience. There's not one moment. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's with you. Look unto Jesus. In this Hebrews 12 text, the writer with the Holy Ghost moving them directs our focus to the right kind of vision, the 2020 vision that God wants us to have when he pins what comes out to be the first three words in our English translation, looking unto Jesus. Always seeing life, whether it's blessings of life or challenges of life, with his perspective. There used to be the saying, what would Jesus do? We could transform that. How would Jesus see this? How would Jesus view this circumstance? How would Jesus approach this? This is a directive from the Holy Ghost. Stay focused on Jesus. That could be a good prayer to pray every day of this year, or at least consistently. Help me to stay focused on you, God. We all know There are so many things that bid for our attention. So many distractions, both good things and bad things, that try to get our attention. But our prayer is the encouragement and directive of Hebrews 12 and verse 2. I want to look unto Jesus. I want to see life through and with Jesus. What's interesting about this directive in chapter 12 in the second verse? Because you remember the previous chapter, chapter 11. This same writer has gone through a whole catalog of Old Testament heroes and witnesses. And now he turns his attention and he says, and he talks about Jesus Christ, the Jehovah of the Old Testament, God manifest incarnate in human flesh. And he uses him as a supreme example, rising above all of those other examples that he's just listed in the previous chapter. And he says, look to Jesus. Honor Moses. Respect Abraham. Cherish the faith of Joshua and every other character that is mentioned in that chapter. But above all, above everybody that has ever lived, everybody that's listening to the Bible, everybody that is around you in your life, look unto Jesus. There's going to be times when you and I don't have one another's answer, but you can look to Jesus and he'll have your answer. We may not even be able to have everybody's back or hold everybody's hand to support them at a difficult time, but you can look to Jesus. He's always there. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He has been with you in your loneliest moment, in your lowest point of despair, or at your highest pinnacle of faith. Look unto Jesus. Look to him. And keep your eyes on him when it comes to salvation. See your salvation as in Jesus and nowhere else. He said, I am the way. Look to Jesus for salvation. And when we're helping somebody else to know how to be saved or how to have a successful life now and then to be able to enjoy eternal life, focus their attention. Some have been distracted. Focus their attention on Jesus. He said, I am the way. I know to many of us it's an old song and it's an old adage and it's an old thought that Jesus is our salvation. But there are people that need to hear that and need to see that fresh and new. I'm going to tell you, I've been so blessed. I grew up in the church. I thank God. I was telling somebody yesterday, I remember being laid on the floor to take a Sunday evening nap. That's when service started at 8 o'clock in the evening. And so by that time of the day, us five-year-olds and six-year-olds were probably a little weary. Laid us down on that floor, and it was a slanted floor like this up there at Grand and Carter. And I remember looking up, and my view was all of these high heels of the ladies. That's one of my memories of being brought up in the house of God, for which I am very thankful. But here's my point. I've heard it all of my life. I heard it in children's church when I couldn't see above the pulpit and they had to put a little chair there. I've heard it as I've grown into teen and adult years, and I've heard it all through my life. But it's still the answer. Look to Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Lift up Jesus, son. Praise Jesus. Put Jesus in your life. Put Jesus in your songs. Put Jesus in your testimony. Look to him for salvation. Simon Peter said in Acts chapter 4, oh, I love this. I feel the thrill of it just getting ready to read it. Neither is there salvation in any other. Woo. I never want to get tired of preaching that message. I never want to get tired. I know this church has heard that very verse hundreds and thousands of times, but it's still true. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Look to Jesus for salvation. That's the one and only name, because he's the one who loves you. He's the one who has died for you. He's the one who rose again. He's the only Savior. In fact, Isaiah wrote it for the Lord. The Lord wrote it, told him, and had him write it down. He said, beside me there is no Savior. Whew. I just feel to tell somebody, I don't know if you're here or if you're in the audience on the web, you can look to other things for life satisfactions, but if you will look to Jesus, if you just call his name, he's right where you are right now. He is right where you are right now. He knows no distance. He knows no separation. Just look unto Jesus. Look to him. Repent and ask forgiveness. Look to him. Repent and ask forgiveness. He'll forgive you. Look to him and obey his instruction to be baptized in his name. And if you need to be baptized in Jesus' name, we're ready to baptize you today. And I hope your heart is ready to receive it. Why? Because he's the one that can remit sins. That's why we baptize in his name. And so if you will look to Jesus, and maybe there's some hesitancy on your part, and you've heard of others, or there have been other ways that you or loved ones have been baptized, but I want to point you to Acts 4 and 12 again. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name, none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Look to him believing that he wants to give you his gift, the Holy Ghost. You know, sometimes we have to forget how we see it. Some people see it this way. I felt God, so I've got the Spirit of God. Well, we did feel the Spirit of God. But here's what the Scripture tells us. He wants to fill our life. He wants to direct our life and fill us with the Spirit. And when we receive the Spirit, not only does he fill our life, he also fills our mouth. I know people say, well, I don't see that speaking in tongues is all that necessary. Well, that's one vision. That is a viewpoint, but it's not 2020 vision. It's not biblical vision. For when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, everybody that receives the Holy Ghost speaks with another tongue unto glorification of God and give God the glory. Here's what I'm saying. Don't look at your past. Don't look at what somebody else has said or taught. Look at what God's Word has said and taught. Look unto Jesus. He is your salvation. When you look to Jesus, it's salvation personified. Watch this. His name, Jesus, comes from the Old Testament title, Yahushua, translated many times as Joshua, which means Savior or God who is salvation. Jehovah has the inference of Redeemer and Deliverer. He is our Redeemer. He's called our Savior. All the names and titles of Jesus somehow are pointing toward their salvation in Jesus Christ. And we need that salvation. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I like this one. Our Advocate. That word literally means somebody who comes to one's side. And then who undertakes the cause of that one that they're standing next to. That's why John wrote, if any man sin, we have an advocate. He comes to our side. He does not plead that we are innocent. He does not say they didn't sin. He said, yeah, they sinned, but I'm standing as the Lamb in this courtroom. I'm standing as the blood that can cover that sin. God is our Savior. Look to His blood. Look to Jesus. I just got to tell you, there is life-giving, life, ooh, I feel it right now. There is life-changing salvation when anybody looks to Jesus. I want to encourage those of you who already filled with the Holy Ghost, been baptized, have repented, you have received salvation. I want to just encourage you, look again and thank Him. Anybody want to do that right now? Just look again. Just look again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ha! Woo! And those who are not saved, believe in His love. Believe in His gift. Believe in His deliverance. Believe He is your advocate. Believe in His mercy and His grace. Perhaps you do not feel like you could ever be saved, ever be holy or be worthy. But I remind you today, your sin is not greater than God's grace. I wish there'd be about 25, at least 25 people in this room that would help me or help God and just take that message to somebody this week. Your sin is not greater than God's grace. Where sin abound, you can finish it. Where sin abound, grace did much more. As high as sin can get, grace can get higher. As high as sin can go, grace can get higher. As high as sin can go, grace can get higher. Your sin, your failure, your mistake, what you think is a ruined life is not greater than the grace of the one that we're looking at today. Somebody pinned the song, grace will always be greater than sin. Calvary has proven it. Woo. Calvary has proven it. Time and again. There's too many people in here that have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. Calvary has proven it time and again. Whatever you've done, wherever you've been, God's grace will always be greater than sin. Don't look at your sin, look at God. And for those of us that are praying for people, don't look at their weaknesses and their failures. I'm not saying they're not there, but I feel the spirit of an advocate upon me. I'm not denying their sin, but I want to stand with them and say, there's a grace that is greater. The writer penned a verse that said, and I feel like this very verse describes someone today, broken and bruised from choices you've made. Sin has a price, and so often you've paid. But Jesus is waiting. New hope is in Him. New hope is in Him. New hope. I'm not saying it over and over for your response. I'm saying it over so it'll echo in somebody's heart chamber today. Somebody's emptiness. Somebody's pit. Look up. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Sin had that price, but Jesus is waiting. New hope is in him, and grace will always be greater than sin. I'm going to tell you, I have no right to hold somebody's sin over their head or against them. And neither do you. See that person. Get a vision of the Lord in that person. See them in light of Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus. If you look at Jesus first, don't look past him and try to find that person or their sin. Look at Jesus first. And there's an expression of grace, hope. Oh, pray with me right now for hope for somebody right now. I feel it so desperately, Lord. Help them to see their hope is in you. Help them to see it's not all lost. It's not all empty. There is something to hold on to. Pray, church, pray, would you, for the hope. Pray somebody's hope. God, I know that they've got to acknowledge it themselves. I know. But we pray now as a church, we pray that they would see just a glimmer. Let them see it just a reflection to cast their attention back to you and to look unto you. Oh, yes. Oh, God. And maybe you faltered. And maybe you've had a life with God and you had a focus on him. But life and things and sin and your own willfulness has changed your view. You know, we make the choice pretty much of what we look at. We make the choice of having the right kind of vision. It's the same spiritually. We can deny it. We can deny that Jesus loves us and wants us. But I just feel like preaching, changing the title right now and put your glasses on. When I got up this morning, they sat right on the little nightstand right next to me. I didn't pray whether or not I should put my glasses on. I knew I needed better vision. What I'm saying, what we look at is purposeful. Having the right vision is purposeful. It's intentional. It can't be, well, if the Lord wants me to have it, he'll give it to me. I'd be like saying, okay, if you want me to put those glasses on, God, I'm going to kneel here by my bed and I'm going to pray. And as I'm getting up, they're going to unfold and float across those few feet and they're going to just get right on there and they're going to set it. No, you got to be intentional. Put your glasses on. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Stand with me if you would, please. No matter what it is in life, it may be a life storm or a life trial. And all we have to think about is Simon Peter in the midst of that storm. And when he saw the wind boisterous is when he began to sink. When his attention moved off of the Lord. If there's a storm in your life, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. If you need forgiveness today, look to Jesus. If you need an answer and you need wisdom and you need counsel and there's a decision, and if there's none of those things that I've just mentioned, you know, certain animals, especially horses, they'll put on them blinders so that they don't get distracted. Because it's so easy. It's so easy. So easy. Get distracted. God's calling for a reconsecration out of lives today. A fresh commitment. I want to look at prayer different. I want to look at reading my Bible different. I want to look at fasting different. I want to look at the spiritual disciplines and directives. I want to look at your will, God. I want to see it. If that applies to you, this altar time will be a good time to just make sure our vision is what it should be. I just open this altar for any kind of a need, whether it's salvation or consecration, or if through your storm, hallelujah, you fear yourself. The Bible says he was beginning to sink, Simon was, beginning to sink. God, before this goes any further, before I can't be saved, before it's too late, I'm only in the beginning right now, the beginning stage. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Some of you are coming in proxy. And if you want to, come in intercession and proxy for somebody else, that they will look to Jesus. Pray that hope for them, that they will see, that they will see that opportunity, that hope, that grace is always greater. Your grace is always greater, Lord. Yes, yes it is. Yes it is. Yes it is. Yes it is. God, help us to keep you at the center of it all. Oh, help us to come back to the heart of worship. Help us where it's all about you, Lord. Where it's all about you. Oh, God. Yes, yes. Help our vision. Yes, help our vision. That's it. Pray, church, all over this house. No matter where you are, let's just take a season of prayer right here, right now, Lord. Yeah.